We hear more now about a judge's ruling against Occupy Wall Street protesters' continued encampment in Zuccotti Park. State Supreme Court Justice Michael Stallman's decision reverses a temporary restraining order issued early this morning by a different judge that said the protesters should be allowed to move back into Zuccotti Park with their tents and sleeping bags. That ruling prompted the police to keep the plaza closed while city lawyers got clarification after a different judge had issued at 6:30 this morning that restraining order. WNYC's Bob Henley is outside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Amy.
You've read Judge Stallman's decision. Tell me what his reasoning was.
Basically, the judge said, and this is here, movements have not demonstrated that the rules adopted by the owners of the property, that's Brookfield, concededly after the demonstrations began, are not reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions permitted under the First Amendment. And then he goes on, the extent that the city law prohibits the erection of structures, the use of gas or other combustible materials, and the accumulation of garbage and human waste in public places, enforcement of the law and the owner's rules appears reasonable to permit the owner to maintain its space in a hygienic, safe, and lawful condition, basically affirming the right of Brookfield to set the rules that they put in place, even though it came after Occupy Wall Street started taking possession of the park.
So basically saying that demonstrators did not prove their First Amendment rights of speech and peaceable assembly trumped Brookfield Property's reasonable rights and duties to keep Zuccotti Park hygienic, safe, and in lawful condition.
Well, and then he said also that there were the rights of others to public access of the same site. Earlier in the day, City Council Cheryl Neufeld, I think, got the judge's attention when she said, quote, they don't have, referring to their protesters, the right to appropriate this private space for themselves. They took it over for their own use. And Brookfield can't live up to their own obligations under city law.
Bob, what extent did attorneys for Occupy Wall Street claim the tents and the sleeping bags were a part of the demonstrators' First Amendment rights to free speech?
Well, they made the argument that because of the 24/7 nature of the protest and their need to try to make this message comprehensive around the clock, that they needed a means to protect themselves from the elements, and they tried to cast that in the light as an essential part of, basically, if you will, their mode and expression of speech. They tried to loop in the tents and sleeping blankets for that purpose.
Have lawyers for the demonstrators said what they will do next? Do they plan to appeal?
Well, there's a very large group of them, so they're going to try to reach consensus. They certainly did leave the door open for an appeal. They also felt that, as they read the judge's order, that since there was no mention, as they read it, of sleeping bags per se, that once the park is opened, that the protesters could go back there and sleep there. I guess they are taking some heart from the fact that there was no discreet reference to sleeping overnight.
We have WNYC's Arun Venikapal. Hi, Arun.
Hi, Amy.
And you are in Zuccotti Park?
That's right. I'm just across the street, across Broadway, sort of looking at Zuccotti Park from here.
Tell me what the reaction of demonstrators was to this, to the announcement of what the judge's decision was.
Well, it's interesting. I think they were very prepared for things to go in their favor for about an hour or so as they're waiting here at the barricades, looking in at the police officers inside the park. They had heard from some people, apparently this is wrong, leaked rumors, that the judge had ruled in their favor. So they were really prepared for that and getting excited and kind of impatient for the barricades to be removed and for them to be able to re-enter the park. When word finally got out about what had actually happened, there was some kind of stunned silence, I think, amongst the people near me, some confusion because they were so convinced it was going to be otherwise, and some groans of disappointment. But there are people I've spoken to who are actually kind of relieved because they thought that this park and the encampment had become such a burden, so much to manage, that they were doing more on that end rather than just trying to protest and change things with the political system. Right now, there are a lot of people who are across the street from me who are trying to figure out, what are we going to meet, you know, at 6 p.m., what are we going to do? Are we going to re-enter tomorrow without sleeping bags? Are we going to try to find an alternative site? So that will probably take shape in the next 12 hours or so, I suppose.
So currently protesters have not been allowed back into the park?
Not as of a few minutes ago. I don't have a good view right now, but now it looks like the barricades are all still up, and they have not changed the position of that right now.
Bob Henley, one of the points that came out of the hearing was that Brookfield, Zuccotti Park's owner, came up with these rules against tents and sleeping bags only after the occupation started. Do you have any sense of why that did not matter to the judge?
I think basically that what happened here is when the fire department a few weeks back went in and felt compelled to move the generators that were on site along with the flammable materials that fuel them, that Brookfield was in a difficult spot because as a legal matter, they had liability for the site, but they had lost material control of it. And so that's the problem here. And it's such a unique site because it has this 24/7 public access covenant attached to it, but it is ultimately private land.
And Arun, I know that you say that some protesters told you that as Bob just mentioned, just the day-to-day maintaining of the site was starting to be a burden. And yet you were following several protesters who were trying to set up a different encampment. First, they tried Foley Square and they were blocked by police. And then they tried briefly to occupy a vacant space near Canal and 6th Avenue. So any sense that some protesters are going to be looking for another site besides Zuccotti Park?
In fact, they have been, I think, for a few weeks seriously discussing finding alternative spaces, partly because some of the, I guess, more committed protesters felt that the site was being overrun by people who were really not involved in the movement. So this space that they tried and momentarily did sort of seize at Canal Street and 6th Avenue, they had apparently scoped it out for some time. It was one of several sites they considered. I think it's possible they will still be looking into that into an alternative site in the next few weeks because of this issue of the winter approaching and how they're going to handle that. At the same time, there are others who think it's just too much to manage a 24-hour kind of a thing, especially in the winter. So for all we know, it could revert to just a non-residential situation where people come, spend several hours talking and protesting, but not really sleeping and camping out.
Or maybe holding a 24-hour vigil that doesn't involve any sleeping, just staying awake and holding a vigil overnight. Anyone planning to do that tonight?
I haven't met anybody yet because I think they're still trying to figure out what's going to happen with Zuccotti Park, if it's going to open up or if they're going to go elsewhere. It's probably right now that they're, I think in the next hour or so, they're going to discuss these kinds of possibilities if some people want to go elsewhere.
WNYC's Arun Venugopal joining us live from Zuccotti Park in Lower Manhattan. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Amy.
WNYC's Bob Henley reporting live from State Supreme Court in Lower Manhattan. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
This is WNYC.